Okay, we're on Daf Nuntet today. So we were around 15, we got about 15 lines from the top yesterday, and I'll pick up a Tanya, right? It's around 15 lines from the top, it's four lines below the stays in brackets, okay? So, you know, let me fix up. Okay, so the Gemara says, Tanya, I'm Rabbi Shmuel. So we learned the Braisa that Rabbi Shmuel said, Shnei Kohanim Gdolim Nishtayru B'Mikdash Rishon. There were two Kohanim Gdolim who were left from the first base of Mikdash. Now the Groa, if you look at the Hagos HaGroa in Gimel, he takes away the word Rishon, which makes a lot more sense. In other words, he says, so in other words, presumably they were left from the second base of Mikdash. And that fits in better because we're going to see it's a Machloket. And the Gemara Masechet Tmura on Daf Tet Vav says the first Machloket was in the time of Yossi ben Yoezer, who was certainly during the time of by Cheney. So he says, so we spoke about yesterday, it was Machloket, when the Kohen applies the blood to the Mizbach HaZahav, to the inner Mizbeach, does he walk around the Mizbeach like he would walk around the outer Mizbeach? I mean, when you walk around the outer Mizbeach, you're on the top floor, but does he walk around there like you walk around or on top of the outer Mizbeach? Or does he stay in the same spot and then reach over with his hand and put blood on each one of the kranot? That was the question we had. It was machloket. So the Gemara says there were two golden left from the base of Mikdash. One said, I did it with my hand. And nobody's there but to see him but him. He said, with my hand. The one said, I walked around. So it could be that there's really not machloket. It could be that they hold that you could do either one. It could be that both hold that way. Each one gave a svara to support his way. So it says in the Torah, it says, "Alkarnotam is be'ach saviv." That's in Rashi on the sixth narrow line that you have to put the blood, alkarnotam is be'ach saviv. On the karnot are like the horns of the mizbeach saviv around. So he says, so he holds saviv is be'ach nimi. The saviv of the inner mizbeach is just like the Saviv of the outer Mizbeach, which we discussed a moment ago. So that would lead me to think that I walk around with my feet. He says, the other one who said he stays in the same spot, he gives a svara, Kulam Mizbeach Panimi, B'makom Chara Karen D'chitzon Koi. So the Mizbeach Panimi, the Mizbeach Achitzon had four kranot. Each one of those kranot measured one amma by one amma. That was the dimensions of the kranot. So the whole inner Mizbeach is the size of one of the kranot of the outer Mizbeach. So it could be that just like, in other words, it's like you apply the blood to one Karen on the outer Mizbeach, you're at that Karen. So too, when you're applying the blood to the inner Mizbeach, you'll do all four corners, you know, in the stationary situation. All right, everybody good with this? So the word Saviv is written certainly by the inner Mizbeach. So I don't know exactly what it says by the outer Mizbeach. One second. Let me get the pasuk here. One second. Okay, so you have it. Okay. Wait, which parak and which pasuk is that?
1:5.
What that's the parak or the pasuk is on? When is it? Parak Aleph, what?
Okay.
So this is where's the pasuk that here about Saviv with the Mizbeach? Okay, I got it. Yeah. Okay. So we're good. So that piece we're good. Any other questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? Okay, we're on Nun Ted Amin Aleph around 20 lines down, 59A around 20 lines down. Okay, so we're at the two dots. So we're going back, we're quoting from the Mishnah that we did yesterday. The Mishnah says that the Kohen Gadol would stay stationary in Mechate, like dab his finger and applied the blood. So the Gemara said, now the Gemara says, Manitin Mani. Now the Gemara says that our version of Reb Lezer is Reb Yehuda. In other words, there's going to be different versions of what Reb Lezer says. So but our version is Rabbi Yehuda's version of Rabbi Lezer. The Tanya, we learned the Braisa, Rabbi Meir Omer, Rabbi Lezer Omer, Bimkoma Omeid, Umechate, that Reb Meir says that Reb Lezer says that he was stationary. The Al Kulana Yonotain Mimala Lamata puts me Otasha Balason from Tami Mata Lamala. You know, maybe I should have done the Mishnah earlier. Anyway, let's look back at the Mishnah on Nunchenim Beis, the fourth wide line from the top on Nunchenim Beis. So it says, Reb Lezer Omer Ben Komo Hayao Meid, he would stay stationary, Umechate, the Al Kulan, this is still Reb Lezer, Hayamotain Milamata Lamala. He would go from below, going upwards. Now, when it says going upwards, so it's going to be the palm is facing the ceiling. Your palm would be facing the ceiling. Chutz mizu shetalafanav, except for the Karen in which he was, which is closest to him, you know, tain mi lamal lamata. There he would do palm down, heading downward. Okay? Now, let's see back in our Gemara. So the so our Gemara says, he would always do or everyone everyone going upwards. In other words, the one that's furthest away from him, that was diagonally away from him, he would do face down, going down. Now the key is like this: that if he's doing face up and lifting his hand, there's a concern he's going to stain his garments. That's the idea. In other words, it's like the blood is going to be on the finger, but it's going to be the side of the finger that doesn't have the nail. Now, when he goes upwards, he's going to do palm up. So then, so if he goes upwards and he's at the corner that's nearest him, so the angle is such and the palm is lifted up, the blood is going to come down. If he does it palm down, and especially if it's further away from him, then that's safer because the angle is such that it's less likely the blood will come down. So the first opinion, let's see back in the Gemara. So in other words, the biggest danger, the most extreme danger is the corner that's closest to him. There the angle is, you know, the most acute. And if he does that, you know, with the palm up, going lamala, then that's the most likely case that it would cause the blood to come down. The least likely case is the one that's furthest away from him. So here, let's get back in the Gemara. So Bryce says, "Remeir Omer, Reb Lezer Omer, Ben Komo made a mechate de Al Kulan Hayonotain Mimala Lamata." He would always head down, or his face down, or palm down. What's Mil Cheshbalachson? Except the one that's furthest away from him, Hayonotain Mimata Lamata. That was palm up, going upwards, because the angle is such he's stretching so far. The angle is such it's not gonna go to his sleeve. He says that's Rameyer's version of Rebbe Lezer. Rebbe Yehuda Omer, and this is the opinion we think that our Mishnah is like, Rebbe Yehuda Omer, Rebbe Lezer Omer, Bimkomo Omer Umechate, again they both agree that Rebbe Lezer would stay in the same place. Yal Kulan Hunotain Milamata Lamala. Everyone he would do Milamata Lamala. Everyone he would be like palm up, going upwards. Except for the one that's immediately close to him. So that one he would do palm down. It's not to stay in his clothes. So basically, they both agree that the corner that's closest to the Kohen, there he's going to do palm down. That they both agree. They both agree that the corner that's furthest away from the Kohen, there he'll do palm up. And the machloket is the other two corners. So according to one version, you do those also palm down, and according to another version, you do them palm up. Okay? Everybody good? Okay, so I'm five lines from where above where it gets wide. Nun Tedam and Aleph, 59a, around five, six lines above where it gets wide. Okay, he's on Menowal Taro Shamazbeh. We said the Kohen, so after he applies the blood to the four corners of the inner Mizbeh, the inner Mizbeh is the Mizbeh Zahav, the golden Mizbeh. After he applied the blood to the four corners, he sprinkled the blood al taharo shel mizbeach. So taharo shel mizbeach is going to mean the top surface of the mizbeach, but the Gemara doesn't know that yet, and it's an unusual turn of phrase, an unusual word. So the Gemara says, "My taharo." What does taharo mean? What do those words mean? What word mean? So Amar Rabbi Bar Shila, Paul gave the mizbeach. So Rabbi Bar Shila, who's obviously living many years after the form of Beis HaMikdash, he says it means Paul gave them his bath means midway up the mizbeach. And I think we have a picture here with this. Where's the picture? What page? 110. Okay. You know, the safer in the base medrash, people are interested. Okay. Now, The 110, yeah, okay. So it, so in the picture book on page 110, and here I'll look at his back for you if you want, you see where it is, it's, he is in his bed. He's got the drop slits midway up in his bed, you see? Okay, so the, and now let me show it to the people in the cyber world. I don't know if you see. You see? It, everybody, okay. So anyway, so even if you can't see, you can imagine it. So Amar Rashi Lepal Gidim is bad. To the Amri Inshi, like people say, Tihar Tiara. In other words, the day is bright. In other words, Tiara can also mean like bright. He says, Bahavi Pal Gidim Yoman, that's midday. So midday is called Tara. So what he's saying, midday is the idea of midway up. That's the way he's, it's a borrowed term. That's according to Rabbi Bar of Shiva. Meife, on this we ask a kasha from the following Brisa. The Brisa says, Shumazeh, when he the Kohen Gadol sprinkles the blood, he doesn't sprinkle it on the ashes, nor on the coals. And remember, what did he burn on the Mizbach? What is the only thing that's burnt on the Mizbach to have is the Torah, right? So he's got coals and burnt Ketoret on the Mizbeah. So he doesn't sprinkle it on the ashes, and he doesn't sprinkle it on the coals. He rakes the coals here and there, as long as he clears a space, umazeh, and then he sprinkles on the cleared space. So that's not looking good for the shot that Rabbi Rosh Hashanah said, right? It's halfway up the Mizbeach. There's no coals and ashes there, right? I assume the ashes from the Torah, but the ashes could also be from the coals. But there's no ashes or coals on the side. That's got to be the top. So Elo, I'm a Rabbi Rav Shila. So rather, Rabbi Shila himself revises his explanation about Tarosh to Mizbeach, al Giluya de Mizbeach, means the full surface. It means the top surface of the Mizbeach. Kidechtiv, u'cheetzem ha'shamayim la'tohar. This is talking about at the time of Matan Torah, they saw this sublime vision, she'etzem ha'shamayim la'tohar, like the sky and all this purity. In other words, like the purity of the sky. So he wants to say, in the same way, somehow the sky is like pure, you know, beautiful. So the same way the top of the Mizbeach is very pure, and that was where the blood was. Awesome. On the top surface.
Yeah.
The bottom picture. Yeah. So, right. So if you see the bottom picture, yeah, he's got it. I thought there was another one with it. So, also, you can see it on the bottom picture of 111 also. Is implying the blood there. Anyway, but you get the idea. All right, now let's take a look. Okay, so now we're on the second wide line on Nun Ten Manal, 59A, the second wide line. So Tani, we learn the Braisa, Chananya Omer, the Tatsphoni, who notain. So Chananya says that he, again, we went through about the applications of blood, and we said, does Machlok, whether he walks around the Mizbeach or he stays stationary and then he applies the blood. And then we also had a Machlok about which corners, what the order of the corners were, whether was it, you know, clockwise or counterclockwise, was it Derek Yamin or basically Derek Small. So now we're up to the sprinkling of the blood on the top surface of the Mizbeach. So the Bryce says, Chananya Omer, it's not Sphony, you know what I mean? So Chananya says that he would sprinkle the blood on the northern exposure on the northern side of the Mizbeach. Now remember that, okay, the northern side would be, as you face the Kodesh Kedashim, the northern side would be on the right. He says, Rabbi Yossi Omer, and again, the Mizbeach is in the middle of the Kodesh Kedashim. Rabbi Yossi Omer, but Sadromi Hunotain. Rabbi Yossi says he would sprinkle on the south side. So the Gemara says, what's the point of dispute between Chananya and Rabbi Yossi? So Mar Savar Pitcha B'Darom Koi. So one holds, this is Chananya holds, that the Petach, we discussed this yesterday, that the opening into the Kodesh Kedashim is in the Darom. Remember we said there was Machlok, we did this early in the Perek, we had the Mishnah on Daf Nun Aleph, was there one curtain or two curtains between the Bayit Sheni, between the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kedashim. So if there are two curtains, then we hold that the opening is in the south, and then you walk up in between the curtains and you enter from the north. If you hold this one curtain, then the opening is in the north. There's just one opening. So it means if there's one opening, that's also the egress for the Kohen Gadol when it leaves the Kodesh Kedashim. So Chananya holds Pidcha B'Darom Kvai. So Chananya holds that the opening was in the south. And he's going to follow like the Sheet of Rabbi Akiva, which went through yesterday. So he's in the south. He walks past the Mizbach HaZahav. The first corner he hits is the southwest corner. And then he goes to the southeast corner. And then he begins applying the blood in the southeast corner. Then according to Rabbi Akiva, he goes in a clockwise fashion. Southeast, southwest, northwest, northeast. That's the way he does it. So then when he's done applying the blood, assuming he's walking around. No, that's clockwise. Right? It's like clockwise, no?
How did you start?
You start in the southeast, go to the southwest, and then you go to the northwest and the northeast. Right, that's what I said. He said, clockwise. Okay, so it's clockwise. Anyway, so he says, so Mar Savar picked up the wrong place. So if I hold, that's the way the coin goes. So the place that he's left when he stops applying the blood is he's in the northeast corner. In other words, he started out in the south, but he'll end his journey in the northeast corner. And at that point, he'll apply the blood in the north. That's why he clears up on the north side, putting Sananya. Umar Savar, whereas Rabbi Yossi holds, Titka B'tzapon Koi. He holds that the opening was in the north. He says that, in other words, there's only one curtain and it opens in the north. He says, and then, so if it opens in the north, he begins in the northeast corner. Now, this will go with the counterclockwise fashion. We saw the Shito yesterday. So he's holding, not like Rabbi Akiva, he holds, he'll begin in the northeast, then go to northwest, then southwest, and southeast. But everybody agrees, the place that you are, when you finished applying to the corners, that's the place that you're going to apply to the top of Mizbeah. So my Tama, why is one, you know, linked to the other? So Amar Krov, it's Hierovic Kitcho. He'll, I don't know, purify, sanctify it for the Mizbeach. Makom Shekitcho, the Kitcho, says I'll identify with the application of the Kranot, the corners, Sham Tiro. That's where Tiro is like Torah Mizbeach. That's where the sprinkling on the surface should be. Okay, who's got questions, comments, and thoughts on anything I did so far? Anybody? All right. So I'm going to go further. All right, we're around the sixth very wide line on Nun Ted Amanal 59A, the sixth very wide line. Okay, so Shiarei Adamaya Shofeicha Yisod Mar Rabbi Yisho Mizbeach HaChitzon. The leftover blood. Now this is the leftover blood from the Par and the Sa'ir, right? And he's got left. In other words, he did all the blood applications, and he did the applications towards Kedashim. He did the applications towards Parochet. He did the applications on the Mizbeach, and now he's got this basin with a lot of blood in it. And at least according to one opinion, according to another opinion, he never mixed the blood. But either way, he's got blood left over. So the Gemara says, Shiarei Adam, the Mishnah says, the leftover blod, he would pour on the Yisod Maravi. Yisod Maravi, remember, we've spoken about this in the past. There's a lip that goes around, not the whole Mizbeah, but part of the Mizbeah. Who's got the nice picture here? Which picture? 107? Let's take a look. Yeah, that's a very good picture. Okay, so... Where are you looking? Well, here in the picture, that's the way they have it in the picture. I don't know what to tell you. That's the way they have it in the picture. The we'll see. Now, so he says he would pour on the sodmar of the shemazbeach hachitzon. He would pour on the western lip of the.
You forgot about the cyber world.
Well, all right. One second. You see this? I don't know if it leaks. Can you see? All right. Okay. There. So he says, by the way, the name of this book is Marot Yoma, and it's a very nice book if you want to order it. And you, oh, they don't have it? Oh, well, he got it from Sundel Berman. But, all right. All right. Let's take a look. All right. All right. Let's take a look. So, but there's more than one Sindel Berman here in New York. So just the fact. Okay, all right, let's take a look. So so back in the Gemara. So he says, he would pour it on the western lip. So the Amar Kra, it called Dam HaPar Yishpo. And it says, and the Pasuk continues, you really need the whole Pasuk. The Gemara frequently quotes the beginning of the Pasuk or part of the Pasuk. You need the whole Pasuk. Called Dam HaPar Yishpo, Chal Yisod Mizbacha Olah. That all the Dhamma Par, the poor, on the Yisod of the Mizbah Ha'ola, Hashem Lefnei Hashem, which is before Hashem. But Hinafik Bahu Pagabration, when he leaves the Kodesh and the Ulam, that's the first part of the Mizbah that he encounters. So that's the part that he's going to pour the blood. Right? He's exiting the Kodesh, going through the Ulam,
then he comes to the Mizbeach. So that's the side of the Mizbeach that he comes to. All right.
Now, continuing on. Now, the blood that's left from the korbanot on the outer Mizbeach, he would pour on the southern, part of it. Here, let me just do a picture for people there. Okay, see?
All right. So, well, let's take a look. So he says,
So Tan Rabbanan, Yisod HaMizbeach, Zeh Yisod Romi. So when it says Yisod HaMizbeach, that's the southern lip. Atomer Yisod Romi, Nereinol Yisod Maravit, maybe it's the western lip. So it says, Amri, Yamad Brit, Atomen HaKevesh, Atomen HaHefal. We're going to extrapolate. Let me get the Pasuk open. Which Pasuk is this? This one, Tan Rabbanan, Yisod, which one is this?
Yeah. Okay, one second. 425? Okay, let's take a look. It's a little tricky. Okay.
So the this is talking about the Korban Chatad of an Asi, Melech. So it's also the Korban that's brought on the Mizbach HaOlah, the outer Mizbach. And the Torah says that the Kohen is going to take the blood and apply to the corners of the Mizbach HaOlah, the Adamo Yishpoch HaYisod Mizbach HaOlah. And the blood he's going to pour at the Yisod of the Mizbach HaOlah, at the foundation. Now, it doesn't say which side. The Torah is running Yisod Mizbach HaOlah, really. It's the Yisod Romi. So the Brisa says the Torah is referring to the southern exposure of it. Atomer Yisod Romi, Doein Ali Yisod Maravit. You're saying it's the southern one. Maybe it's the western one. So Amri, Yomad Brita Tomana Kevesh, Tomana Hechel. So the Gemara says we should analyze it and compare his descent from the Kevesh, which is the ramp to the Mizbeach, to his exodus, to his exit from the Hechel. Mayitzia Tomana Hechel, the Samuchlo, just like when he comes out from the Kodesh, for the Chataot Pnimiot, we said already that he applies the blood to the side that's closest to him. The Eza is the Yisod Maravi, that's the western lip. Afri Brita Tomana Kevesh. So when he comes down, he descends from the ramp, he goes to the closest wall. The closest wall is the southern wall. That's basically what he's saying. Now, on the southern wall, there's not a lot of lip. There's only a small little lip there, but that's the part that's closest to him. Now, the Aza is a Yisodromi. That's what the first Brisa says. Everybody got it or not? Okay, all right, let me just repeat again, okay? So we established already from the earlier Pasuk that for the Chataot Pnimiot, of which the Par and the Seir and Yom Kippur are examples, so the blood is poured on the western lip. Are you good with that? Okay. So, right. So now the Gemara says, what about when he's pouring the leftover blood from the outer Korbanot? Where does he go? So the Gemara quotes the Pasuk that he has to pour it on the Yisod, but it doesn't say which side. So the Brisa says, we're going to analogize it to the inner Chataot. Just like the inner Chataot, he did the side that was closest to him as he was exiting the Kodesh. So too, with the outer Korbanot, the Kohen is going to bring it to the side that's closest to him when he descends from the ramp. So,
right.
And so here, so look, right. So the part of the Yisod that's closest to him is this corner right over here. Right. That's it. That's the closest part right over here. So that's the southern side. Okay. Now, let's see further in the Gemara.
Right.
Right.
And then the west.
Right. Okay. Let's see further in the Gemara. Tanya, we learned the Brisa, Reb Yishmael Omer. I'm sorry, I left something out. Okay. Tanya, Reb Yishmael Omer. So in the Brisa we learn, the Rabbi Shmuel holds that all the blood is always poured on the western side. So Rabbi Shmuel disagrees with the previous holding in the previous Brisa. He holds blood is always on the western lip, even for the outside one. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Omer, Zeb Zeh Yisod Romi. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai says everything's on the southern lip. So basically, we have three opinions: that everything's on the southern lip, everything's on the western lip, or the pnimiyim, the chatot pnimiyot, I should say, the chatot pnimiyot are on the western lip, and the, you know, the korbanot on the mizbeach hachitz are on the southern lip. So the Gemara tries to understand these tanaim that we just mentioned. B'shleima Rabbi Shmuel k'savar. Now Rabbi Shmuel said zeb zayisod ma'arabi. Rabbi Shmuel says everything is the western lip. So the Gemara says b'shleima Rabbi Shmuel k'savar yilmat satum mimeforash. So he's going to say one pasuk is clear. In other words, by the inner mizbeach, it said that he's going to take the blood and pour it al yisod mizbeach ha'olah asher l'fnei Hashem. Yisod of the mizbeach ha'olah asher l'fnei, which is before Hashem, which is the western side. So I'm going to learn, and the other one just says pour on the yisod. That's satum. So satum will learn from a farash, the west side. One rule for all. Hello, Reb Shem ben Yochai, my tama. But what's the reason for Reb Shem ben Yochai, who says everything's in the south? So Amar Rabashi, Kisavar, Pitcha, B'daram Koi. So Reb Shem ben Yochai holds, remember we had a machloka, which we spoke about, where was the Mizbeach vis-a-vis the Kodesh, vis-a-vis, in other words, was it more north or south? So Reb Shem ben Yochai holds that the entranceway to the Ulam and to the Kodesh is to the south of the Mizbeach. In other words, the Mizbeach is north of that central shaft. Do you have it? In other words, the Mizbeach is more northerly. So he says, the Savar picks up a drum fight. He holds that when you exit, here, let me, Michael has a nice, man, borrow it for a minute.
Yeah.
Okay. So in this picture, you see, this picture is not the way Reb Shem ben Yochai imagines it. So in this picture, and I'll put it over here as well, this picture, and you have it in your article tomorrow. So here's the Mizbeach, and the Mizbeach is the north, the northern edge of the Mizbeach is lined up to the middle. That's the way it is in this diagram. According to Rabbi Shem bar Yochai, the Mizbeach is much more north, and when you exit, you encounter the southern side, okay? So the Mizbeach. Okay, so you have a nice picture in the art school. Okay, so you have a picture in the art school. So let's take a look. Here, let me pick up the art school. Let's see what the picture is. 5984 in the art school. Let's see. 5984. One second. Where are we looking?
Look. Extends a little bit, but it's really in
the starting. No, but the agreement where it stands.
All the way for that.
Yeah, otherwise he does not agree with that. Yeah, I don't think I have that in my Gemara. Okay, but thank you very much, though. Okay, but you get the idea. Anyway, so according to Reb Shem bar Yochai, so Pitcha B'Derom Kai, so in Achinami, when he exits the Kodesh, that's the first sign he encounters. That's the closest point. So he'll do that. So the Gemara says, okay, just give me 1 minute and we'll take questions, comments, and thoughts, okay? So Tana Debe B'Derom Shmuel, Debe Reb Shem bar Yochai. So a Braisa from the base medrash Rabbi Shmuel was taught in the base medrash Rabbi Shem bar Yochai, and those are the two bar plugbits. And the Braisa says zev is a yisod dromit, that everything is yisod dromit. So Rabbi Shmuel said before zev is a yisod maravi, but in the Braisa that was taught in the base medrash Rabbi Shmuel, that was taught in the base medrash Rabbi Shem bar Yochai, Rabbi Shmuel is recorded saying zev is a yisod dromit. So right, he's going over to Rabbi Shem bar Yochai's position. The siman to remember who went over to who. Somebody went over to who? Somebody said south, somebody said west, and somebody went over to him. So there's Mashu Gavre Le Gavre. That the Tamidim means in the base medrash. Rabbi Shem bar Yochai pulled Rabbi Shmuel to the Rashita. Okay? Okay. Any questions, comments, or thoughts? All right. So I'm going to go on. Okay, now we're two lines from the bottom. I'm going to tell him an Allah. He said the blood, all the blood, whether it was the blood from the, you know, from the Chataot Pnimiot, or the blood from the outer korbanot, they mix in the Amah. And here we have a nice picture on page 108, the top picture. And here's the top picture on page 108. I don't know if you can see it so well, but you pour the blood and you see it going in there. And anyway, so, and then it mixes in the Amah, which is like this this canal that goes through the Azara. And then it says that they would sell it, and then it would go to Nachal Kidron, and then they would sell it for Zebel, to the gardeners, and Moalin behind it. If you don't pay for it, you're Chayav Me'ila, but we sent on to the bottom level. Let's see back on the Gemara. So two lines from the bottom. Tan Rabbanan, Moalin B'damim, Divir Reb Meir. So Remeir said, Dami Mihim means blood, not money, but he says, Remeir Rav Shimon hold that blood is subject to Din Me'ila. Me'ila is a wrongful use of something that belongs to Kodesh, and Remeir, you have to pay the money back to the Kodesh. He says, but Chachamim Omrim Ein Molim, the Chachamim hold that it isn't subject to Me'ila. Now, the simple pshat in the Gemara is they're talking about the blood after the mitzvah has been done. That's a simple pshat. Some want to say, if that's the case, then our Mishnah would go like Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon, right? Because Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon hold that it is subject to Me'ila, and our Mishnah says it's subject to Me'ila. So if I say that's what they're talking about, then our Mishnah is only going according to the two Shitot, which are not like the Chachamim. But some want to say that's not the pshat. Some want to say that everybody agrees with the holding of the Mishnah that it is chayv on a me'ila on a drabanan level, but the machloket is really the blood before the mitzvah is done. The blood is before the mitzvah is done, it's the machloket. All right, we'll see in a minute. Now, so, 1 minute. Not sure. 1 second. Again, when we talk, if we say it's talking about the me'ila at the end, we're talking about adin drabanan when we have the me'ila. So beforehand, I'm not sure. Yeah.
It is Mila. Why should we not?
Right.
Why would they not put that
up? Yeah. I'll see. We're going to see in a minute that Dom isn't subject to a din of Mila. That's really going to be the issue. Yeah. Dom is really not included in the Mitzvah Mila. So it's going to mean when did the Chachamim impose like a din of Mila on Dom, which is excluded normally. That's really what it would be. All right. So then it would somewhat make sense. In other words, everybody who's at after the mitzvah, this is going to be, okay, we'll see in a minute. So he says here, Chachamim will remain only the hand, turn page. So I've come up with the Rabbanim. So the whole machloket is on a Rabbanim level. In other words, everybody agrees on a Daraisa level, there is no Me'ila. But with the Raita in Mo'olim Ben, everybody agrees that there's no Me'ila with the blood on a Torah level. So Menachemili, where do we know this halacha that there's no Me'ila B'damim? So Amar Ula, now the Gemara is going to focus on one pasuk. So it's in Vayikra Yudayin. What pasuk is it? You know, what is it? Yudala? Okay, let me guess. It's on Yudala. Yeah. So the pasuk, this pasuk nech remote. It says he nefesh habasar badamni. The soul is in the blood. When he said lakam lizbeach prepare enough to take them. I've given it. It was given. That's what applied from lizbeach. Bring kapara. He adam who banefesh kapare. The dam is banefesh kapare. How does he translate like this? He says it is the blood that atones for the soul. Okay. Now the Gemara is going to darshan three phrases from this pasuk, each one to teach me that there's no me'ila b'dam. So it's Amar Ula, Amar Kra Lachem. So the pasuk says, "Bani Tiv Lachem Al Hamizbeach." I've given it for you, Lachem Al Hamizbeach. Amar Ula Amar Kra Lachem Shalachem Yehi. That's yours. So it's not subject to me'ila. It's yours. It's not mine. The Bei Reb Shimon Tana, the base medrash of Reb Shimon, they taught in the Brisa Lechaper. I've given it you for kapara, not for me'ila. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Amar Kra, Rabbi Yochanan says, the pasuk says, who? He says, and who means it's like the same status throughout. He says, ki adam hu banefesh kaper. He says, Amar Kra hu lefnei kapara k'lachar kapara. It maintains the same status. Mala achar kapara in b'me'ila, just like after kapara is don din a me'ila on a derais level with the blood, after din kapara in b'me'ila. Now, the difficulty is, if you explain the Gemara simply the first way I explained it, so that they're analyzing the blood after the mitzvah is done. So why are they quoting a limud concerning the blood before the mitzvah is done? But if you say it the second way, so then it could be that's what the subject of the Gemara is. So the Gemara says, the aim of Akar Kapara Klipne Kapara. So, in other words, you assume that just like after Kapara, there's no Me'ila. So, certainly before Kapara, there's no. So before Kapara, there's also no Me'ila. Who? In other words, who means it's like same spread. Like Chazal teaches, who Achashve Rosh? I don't know. You showed that from beginning to end. And the Gemara has like, or who me Rishom means, whenever you say like who means like stays the same status. So the Gemara says, "Ve'imal achar kapara klutin kapara." May I flip it around the other way? I'll say, "After kapara is like klutin kapara, malafnei kapara before the blood is applied, yeshbo me'ila. After achar kapara, yeshbo me'ila. Maybe it's me'ila throughout." So the Gemara says, "Ein lechad avar shna seit mitzvato molin bo." The Gemara says, "Our klal is that once the mitzvah has been done, there's no din of me'ila. Once you do the mitzvah with the item, is not subject to Me'il anymore. So it can't be that afterwards, of the two choices, the second choice doesn't make sense. The first choice makes a lot of sense. It's just like there's no Me'il after the mitzvah, there's no Me'il before. The other way you have it is like running counter to our rule. So the Gemara says below, is that true that there can't be a din of Me'ilah once the mitzvah has been done? By Truman Adeshin, and Truman Adeshin, Dafyomi, people remember, we had, it's like every morning, remember the waist with the Kohanim, and the one that stabbed him, whatever. So the so every morning when Kohen would go up to the top of his bath, take a shovel full of ashes and place it on the floor of the base of Mikdash. So Bahare Truman Adeshin, on the top line in Sama Kamnala, so Truman Adeshin is subject to Me'ilah, even after this has been done. That's difficult. By Ray Truman Adeshin. So the Gemara says, Mishum Dahabi Truman Adeshin will be the Kuna Shnei Kuhim to Echad. So Shnei Kuhim to Echad in Lamdin. The reason that can't serve as an example is if I have one example, I can give an example. The Torah tells me in two places, then it's just those two and no other place. So Truman Adeshin has the Dinam Eli after which is done. And Big Day Kuhuna also has a day after. Now, he's talking about the Begadim of the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur, the Big Day Lavan. And he goes in. So after he does the Avodah of the Yom Kippur, Hini Chamsham, he leaves it there, nobody can use it again. So the Gemara says, Hanichla Rabbanan Da'amri Hini Chamsham Leish Shunun Gneza. So that works well, according to Chamim who hold, that when it says Hini Chamsham, that the big day Laban are Talon Gneza, and so in it, Chaynami, I have two sources that say that after this is done, you do have a mitzvah Mila, but only those two, nothing else. El Rib Dosa Da'amar Big Day Kuna Ru'uyin Hain Lekoin Hedyo at Mike Lameva. But Rabbi Dosa, who says Behini Chamsham, means to leave it there for use by regular Kohanim during the year. There was a remember we had a machloket whether the begadim, the Big Day Laban, the Kohen Gadol wears in Yom Kippur, is that the same as the begad for Kohen Hedyot during the rest of the year? So Rabbi Dosa holds it is, and he holds that another Kohen could use it. So there is no dinamium. So what am I going to say? So within that sheet, I'll say Yishuv Dahavi Truman Adeshin of the Egla Rufa Shnei Kuvimun to Echad. There we'll say Truman Adeshin will be the same, that there can be a Din of Me'ilah after the ashes have been laid down there. And Egla Arufa also. Egla Arufa is after I decapitate the calf, is when somebody dies in cities, I don't know who killed, and I'm addressed in the nearest city, and then I have this whole mitzvah with the taking of this calf, and the calf is decapitated. But Chazal teaches based on the Pesukim that you can't get any hanah from the animal even after this has been done, which means there's a Din of Me'ilah. So he says that those two are Shnei Kuvimun to Echad. So the Gemara says, so you're right, you answered my question. So according to the opinion that holds, when the Torah writes something in two places, I can't learn from it, showing, you got it worked out. But according to this other opinion of the Gemara, I could learn from that. So now I'm going to mean Gahak Tzuris. Now I could learn it, and then I'm going to run problems with them. So the Gemara says, even according to that opinion, if you look in the Pesukim, there are two mi'utim, mean two limitations that will teach us that only Trumas Adeshin and Egel Rufa is a din of Me'ilah, nothing else. One is Visamo, and it was Visamo Eitzel HaMizbeach. Not Visam Eitzel HaMizbeach, Visamo. You'll put it near the Mizbeach. This thing is unique, and this one you can't get enough from, but other things you could. And then Ha'arufa, not Egel Arufa, Ha'arufa, the one that was decapitated, that's it. Okay, let me just finish the Gemara to the Mishnah, and then we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts, okay? Now, the Gemara goes back to Limud we had on Amud Beis on the previous Gemara. Remember we had the Pasuk in Achrimot about the Dam, and we had three Limudim to teach me that there was no Me'ilah with the Dam. One was Lachem, Ula, Shlachem Yehei, and the Beis Reb Shimon, Tana, that Lechaper, Lechaparav, and Tivolo Me'ilah, and Rabbi Yochanan says the cross says, Hu Lefnei Kapahu, Hu Lefnei Kapar Kalachar Kapara. So the Gemara says, V'hani Tati Kroi B'dam Lamali. Why do I need three psukim or three words that each teach me that there's no Me'ilah B'dam? It's like a little bit of overkill. So the verse is, you're right. I don't need three words to teach me, but each one may say that this is the one that teaches me Me'ilah, but there are, you need two other limudim. Chad limutim notar. One is to exclude the dam from notar, meaning that if a person has dam that was left over past the time of a korban to eat the korban, and now I consume the dam, which I should not be consuming because it's an avera to consume the blood, but the blood is also notar, but I'm only chayav for achilas dam, not chayav for notar. In other words, dam is excluded from that. In other words, it's so. In other words, it would be like lechaper, lechaparansiv below lenotar. In other words, it's for kapara, but not something notar. This is v'chalam yuti mi'ila. One is going to exclude it from the din of mi'ila, which we covered already. Not five from mi'ila and dam. V'chalam yuti mi'tuma. One is to exclude dam from tuma. In other words, let's say I ate the dam from kachim in a state of tuma. So there's one aveira I'm having dam, the other is I'm eating kachim in a state of tuma. So I'm not chayev for the one. I'm not chayev for an aveira for consuming dam in a state of tuma. Aval mi'pigul lo tzarich mi'uti kra. But for pigul. Now, pigul is when the person has machshava that he or the mizbeach will consume something after the time, and then even if that doesn't take place, but he had the machshava's pigul, so he's chayat karet for consuming the korban or working on the mizbeach. So he says, so if I consume the dam or offer the dam on the mizbeach, so I'm not chayat for pigul. Why? It says that non, because we learn in the Mishnah, this is on Samach Amud Aleph, in other words, anything that is subject to matirim. In other words, the matir could be is like the dam and the komets for a mincha. Those are matirim. In other words, like something that permits something else. That's a matir. So something which is like the permitted item, that's the corpus for it to be pigel. That can be chayiv on pigel. In other words, I had a machshava, you know, to consume the korban outside the right time or the mizbeach. Will consume the korban at the right time, so that korban has been impigal, and if I eat the korban, I'm chayakare. But he says here the dam atzmo matir. Dam is in a different category. Dam is not the thing which is being permitted. It is the matir. So the matir is not subject to a din in the ilah. Okay, all right. Now let me just pause for a second. Who's got questions, comments, and thoughts on anything that I said so far?
I have a basic question. Oh, let me think
for a minute. Yeah, what's up, Fern?
There are a couple what? Of steps floating around here. What came first? Is it the kedusha status of something which gives rise to me'ila if you steal it, or is it that it's subject to me'ila that gives it a status of kedusha?
No. The first way. When something has kedusha, then it's subject to me'ila.
Okay, so then it's subject to Me'ila because it has Kedusha. So right. Then after the mitzvah is done with different right. items, right. doesn't the item still retain some Kedusha even if it's not subject to Me'ila?
So the after the mitzvah has been done, it certainly, there's different things the mitzvah is done with. So,
like the lulav you throw in the garbage, I get that.
I mean, that's the suyu with tashmishi kedusha and tashmishi mitzvah. But you're talking about in the Beis HaMikdash when the mitzvah has been done with something. Right. So in the Gemara we had about the begadim of the Kohen Gadol, mitzvah
the
was done.
Wear it.
And it was, so we said maybe the other hedyot maybe could wear it.
But that's a continuation of a mitzvah.
Yeah,
then, right?
I'm sure there is some residual kedusha, but it's not subject to me'ila. That's what I would say. All right.
So how much kedusha has to be diminished for it to be subject?
I don't know the answer to this question. I don't know the answer to this question, Fern. But all I know is not subject to me'ila. That's all I know.
Okay.
All right. Okay. What's up, Dave?
You don't have to discuss today, but you mentioned something about the position of the mizbeach chitzoni.
Right.
And in Dafti design, we had a discussion on the position of Rav Yehuda, said it was exactly the center of the Mizbeach, was exactly what it was.
All right.
And then there was Shitat Rashi, and then Ramban.
All right.
But we don't have time to look at this. And then, if you don't mind, maybe tomorrow we can look at this.
What, your picture, or what do you got?
No, I went back to look because I remember.
So, but again, it's machlok at tonight.
I thought you mentioned something now.
In other words, we said in the Gemara that according to, there was Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, right? He says, Reb Shimon, he says, so Dromi, so the Gemara says, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai holds Pitcha Bedarim. He holds that the Mizbeach was north of the entranceway.
You're talking about the Kitzon, the outer
one. The other one.
Right.
So if you go to page 33 now.
Right.
So Rabbi Yehuda.
Wait, let me see. Wait, let me get that. Okay.
So remember, we just.
Okay. So I'm looking at page 33.
Rabbi Yehuda
right.
is exactly the center of the Mizbeach.
Right.
Which makes sense.
Right.
And everything, all the tabaot are moving north.
North.
Yeah. Sure. Then if you go, there is two of a close between Rashi, the page after. Next page is the machloket between Rashi and Ramban, exactly the position, which is like a little bit similar to what we just discussed now, that we know, you know, like that the north of part is, you know, the north part of the Mizbeach Tzoni is adjacent or like aligned with the door.
Right. This I would have to look at, but neither one of these sheets are like we're speaking about here. In other words, the Rashi and the Rambam, the ways presented here, are focusing on 135 amot north to south. That we know is 135 amot. The Tana of Shimon Bar Yochai holds that his Mizbeach was in a different location than this. Right. He does not agree with this opinion. Okay. Now, let me just go a little bit in the, we've got a break in 2 minutes, but I was going to do a little bit with this. Let me see what we got here. All right, you know, I think I'm gonna call it a day. All right, okay, that'll be it. All right, let me just end the recording. 1 second. Okay.